See if I can turn on my speaker here. Okay. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. We're going to get down to verse 18. We're studying Genesis verse by verse. If you didn't know, Moses wrote Genesis as an inspired record of what happened at the beginning of time and the beginning of everything. It's a true record. He wasn't there, so he wasn't an eyewitness, but God was there. And so that's why we call this the word of God, not just the word of Moses or the word of a man. We've worked our way through chapter one. We've learned about the creation of this universe. It was a miraculous, instant creation. Across 6 days of details there, where God created the sun, the moon, the stars, and the planets, as well as all of life. And we are now in chapter two. We learned a couple weeks ago, we learned about the need for rest. And God is our pattern for rest. Not that he needed to rest himself, but he knew that we needed a day of rest. And then chapter two started, as we saw last week, with the creation of the first man, Adam. And what is interesting is when you get to chapter two, God seems to go back onto day six, and he says, let me tell you some more details about creating man and the woman. He starts off in talking about the making of Adam, and he says that the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and became a living soul. So this is really, you know, so anti-evolution. It is so amazing because there was no man before Adam. He didn't come up through amoebas and through mammals and then up to apes and up to man. No, he was instantly created miraculously. And as I said last week, a human being is really the most complex thing in the universe. When you understand how the cells work, life itself is a miracle. And God gave Adam not only his body, but also gave him a soul and a spirit, gave him a trinity of entity. We're more than just flesh and bones. When you're talking to somebody, you're talking to a soul in a body. And if you don't know what a soul is, I'm going to tell you, that's the real you. That's the part of you that loves and hates. That's the part of you that chooses and is stubborn. That's your soul. And that's that part of you that laughs and grieves. But the most important thing is to understand that's the part of you that Jesus died for. He did not die for your body. He didn't die for your hands or your feet. What can a man give in exchange for his soul, Jesus said. So when God so loved the world, he was loving not the physical things of this world, but he was loving your soul. So we learned about the making of Adam. Then God made a garden, a special garden. We call it the Garden of Eden. And what was unique about the garden was he made it in need of a man. He made it so that it needed work. And we talked about that, and that God had one rule, one law. He said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're going to talk about that more in the next few weeks when we get to chapter 3 about how serious that was. Because when God makes a commandment, when God makes a law, there are always consequences to breaking the law. And we see that when you get to chapter 3. So he gave a law, and then God made one more thing. And let's look in chapter 2 and verse 18. When we get down to this verse, verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. So there's one more thing to make, and that was a help. We might say a helper. So there, God didn't just make a woman. God didn't even just make a wife. Did you notice what it said? I will make him a help. So I'll ask this question as we continue. What pattern are you following, ladies? See, women today have followed the patterns. When we grow up, we say, I'm going to be like so-and-so. At least that's what we did when I was growing up. We had superheroes. I was about 5, maybe 6 years old, and my mom and dad bought me a Superman cape for my birthday. And so my level of intelligence was I had only got 2 brain cells. And so I actually got up on our roof and I thought the cape would help me fly. And I jumped off the roof. And I don't know how to survive, but folks, I was following a pattern. I saw Superman do it, so I wanted to be like him. And so you got to ask yourself, what pattern are you following? Folks, ladies, you are following a pattern. Your life, your kind of speech, your way that you dress, the way that you even walk follows a pattern. When I was young, there were a lot of teenagers that were older than me that all acted like Jimmy Dean, James Dean. Adults talk like James Cagney. And you guys don't even know who some of these people are, and Cary Grant. And people were patterning their lives after what they saw in Hollywood. And you, I'm talking to ladies now today, you follow a pattern. And probably you're following Hollywood. Probably you've picked up your attitude, your way of speech, the way you think from about 200,000 hours worth of television and social media. Many of you remember when you were kids, you picked up stupid teen magazines, and that was your influence. But those things, they aren't the most important. I mean, TikTok is the influence today. Instagram. I don't know what happened to Snapchat, but all of these influencers, they are called influencers. They have influenced generations of women. Today, folks, the majority of divorces are initiated by women. Don't tell me they got that by their own. They got it by influencing, seeing that most movies don't even have a husband or wife anymore. There were over 10,000 abortions of babies in Ireland last year by women. Men didn't kill those babies. Mothers did. The number of women, and especially young women today on antidepressants, is skyrocketing. Don't you think women have been lied to long enough and have been influenced by the wrong influences? So I have to ask you, what pattern are you following? I know this, God gave us a perfect pattern to follow in our Bible. If churches refuse to teach biblical womanhood, or many churches are afraid to, then women will never hear of it. They're not going to hear it from their parents. They're not going to hear it from the movies. They'll only be taught by the feminists to be feminists. It's all most women know today. It's one of the biggest reasons why our world is darker than ever. It's time women looked back to the pages of this Bible and see what God designed you to be, because his designs are perfect. And don't be offended. Don't be upset that I'm talking mainly to you this morning, ladies, and not to men. Men usually get their rear ends kicked in every Sunday. It's their time another day. Today it's yours. Amen. So hold on. And it's not just to be rebuked, folks. I want to be an encouragement. I want to help you. So let's pray. Father, I pray for a right spirit this morning as we open your word, that we realize this is not a story. This is a pattern. This is what you design and what you show and you announce as the pattern for a wife, for a woman, for a lady. I don't care what kind of world, what kind of culture we live in, grow up in, whatever, we have a pattern to follow. And I thank you for that. And make us afraid of not following that pattern, because we need to look at our world and be very aware that no wonder our world is a mess. We turned our back on the pattern. We found fault with you, Father. And we mocked the simplicity of the scriptures. I pray we'd humble ourselves and say, God, bring it back. Make it real in my life. Because our homes need godly women. Our homes need ladies who will follow the pattern of the design that you gave in these pages and in these verses. Lord, if we find that we don't have the strength for it, if we find that we don't know how to do it, that's why we have Jesus. That's why we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that we would do that, God. Not in our own strength. If there's somebody in here who's just going to argue and fight with me in their heart, Lord, I pray that they would realize they're fighting you. And they'd humble themselves and say, Lord, you win. Change me. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, picking that up there. We're only going to deal with one verse this morning. And in verse 18, we're going to keep reading it, but it says, and the Lord God said, now again, he's made man, he's put him in the garden, he's put him to work, he's trimming the trees, he's pruning, he's planting, he's doing all those things. And in verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him. So the man was alone, and the truth is, God says it wasn't good. That's a strong statement, because so far, whenever God looked in the garden, everything seemed to be good. When he looked at the planet Earth, when he looked at Mars, Jupiter, the moon, when he looked at the sun, when he looked at everything, he says, good, 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 good. And he went, man, he went, not good. Now, not that man wasn't good, but him being alone was not good. Folks, it is not evil. It was not sinful that Adam was alone. It was just not how he was designed to be. When God made man, he was only half of a whole, both physically and emotionally. Now, God made Adam to need some things. What did Adam need? God. God did not make Adam able to live without God. No matter how loving a family you may have or how successful a business you may have, you need God. But when God is ruling your life, when God is in control and the head of your life, and when you are following the Lord Jesus Christ, and I read a question by somebody this week that said, if you claim to be following Jesus, why aren't you? I thought that was very profound. That if I would only just follow the headship and the lordship of the Lord Jesus, because if I'm following my boss, or if I'm following my dreams, if I'm following, they will always end in disaster. But if I follow Lord Jesus, that's eternal life. Adam needed God. So when a man humbles himself, finally repents of his own sinfulness, finally believes on the Lord Jesus Christ to save him, he becomes perfectly righteous, the Bible says. And he actually is this, he becomes complete in Christ. Now that's spiritually. There's nothing more that you need to tell me I need to do or be to be right with God now that I'm born again. Can you nod your head and realize we are, if you'll take your Bible, hold your place here, go to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. There are too many, possibly people in this room who grew up thinking you're never good enough. You were told that you had to do more. You had to pray more, you had to give more, you had to be more, you had to do. And you'd never know whether it was enough. Well, let me tell you this, look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, and ye are complete in Christ. Now in the world, you're not complete. But when you get into Christ, when you get in, just like when Noah got into the ark, he was safe, wasn't he? From the coming judgment. And when you get into Christ, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are complete in him. He is the head of all principality and power. Nobody can come between you and him. But I'll say this, your relationship with God is not all you need, or else all of us would just stay single. Never marry, never want children, especially not want grandchildren. But I'm here to tell you, I want grandchildren. I'm glad I got married. Because we men were designed incomplete spiritually, physically, and emotionally. God supplies that spiritual need, but what about physical and emotional? That needs something else. Adam needed another human with him. He was not designed to be a bachelor all his life. Adam needed somebody who was not going to be just a friend or a buddy or a partner. He needed a wife. And God doesn't call her a wife. Did you notice that? What does God call her in Genesis? Go back to 2:18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a wife. Is that what it says? No. He could have said it. And really, he does give her, does give Adam a wife. Look at chapter 2, verse 24. Just down to verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father's mother, and shall cleave unto his, and they shall be one flesh, and they were both naked, the man and his wife. So this woman is his wife, but he doesn't call her at first a wife. He says, I will make a help for him. God was going to make something way better than any other man could ever be, better than a brother could be, better than a mother could be, or a father. He was going to supply Adam with the life of a wife in his life. So, still looking at verse 18, Adam was a man who needed help. Let's say what the Bible says. Verse 18, again, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man should be alone. I will make him a help. Evidently, Adam needed help. Ladies, you can say amen there. Adam was not complete when he was created. He lacked something to be able to, when he was created, he lacked something to live in this world. Now, he lacked nothing to be able to walk with God. Do you know, if you're saved, you lack nothing to be able to worship God, be right with God, love God, serve God. You say, well, I can't preach. Preaching is not serving God. Finding what God's will for you and doing it, that is the will of God. So, but you say, well, I can't this, I can't. Stop saying what you can't. There, whatever God asks you to do, you can do. Because there's nothing stopping you from serving. Now, maybe performing, maybe you can't perform. Maybe you can't show off, but you certainly can serve. There is nothing you lack to be able to serve and love God and worship God and walk with God and be right with God. But Adam lacked some things. He was not complete. Now, I don't mean he was a cripple, all right? He wasn't missing a leg. Aren't you glad, all right? That would have been a terrible creator to say, where's your other leg? Oh, I forgot your other leg, Adam. Sorry. See, he was not a cripple. He was not stupid. He was not an idiot. He was not insensitive. He was not a Homer Simpson. Adam simply was incomplete. He was not whole. Now, remember that statement because we will go back to that. And God designed him that way. He was designed and built incomplete. Most men try real hard to not need help. Would you agree? Some of us were taught to be self-sufficient. And maybe your husband's kind of like me. We by nature don't like to ask directions. Amen. I would rather be lost for an hour before saying I'm lost. Amen. Some of you men are afraid to say amen. I'll say it for you. It's just something that says I'll figure this out. And that's a good thing. Don't find fault with that. That's us. We don't like admitting that we need help. But God did not design to be Adam to be a Superman. God designed Adam with some big needs. As I said, Adam needed God. But God, Adam also needed air. He needed water. He needed food. He needed rest. But he needed purpose and work and accomplishments. And he needed a wife. God designed a man generally incomplete without a wife. Yes, there are some people who are called by God to be single. Amen. But every man is designed to be married. Adam lacked companionship. He lacked someone to share his life with and to give his life for when needed. He was alone. So you know what God did? God announced. I like how he says this. Verse 18, it does not say, and the Lord, just out of nowhere, made a woman. No, it doesn't say that. Made a help. Doesn't say that. It says, God announced, I'm going to make him some help. He's kind of proud of what he's doing. He's kind of pleased with what he's about to answer here. God announces all over heaven, he's going to make that missing part. Something that this world could not supply, that this man's work in the garden could not provide. God was going to make a woman. Now, when we talk about this woman, still in verse 18, he uses several phrases. We looked at the word help here. We're going to go back to it in a second. But read it again, verse 18. The Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him a help. And then always pause there. Don't say a help meet. That word doesn't exist. There is no word help meet. Okay? It's kind of like people, when I deal with Pentecostals, they'll say the Holy Ghost. And they'll kind of squish it all into one word. It's two words. A help meet for him. That's who this person is going to be. I will make him a help meet for him. So when we talk about somebody who's a meet, we'd say a match, a mate, someone who is near to him, someone fitting him like a suit, someone who is attached to him. Really, this woman who is a match is somebody who is glued to him. They cleave to one another, and she is the second most important part of his life next to God. When it says his someone who is meet for him, God is talking about the woman being that man's counterpart, someone who may be the opposite, but it's opposite in a good way. She's not a clone, but she is a mirror image of his life, reflecting his image, not hers. She is someone who faces him, not in opposition, but in a complementary way, filling in the gaps and the things that are missing in his life. That's what the word meet means, M-E-E-T. She's not a slave, but she is an added strength for him. That's what a wife is. She is his match, not his competitor, but somebody who makes up for what he's lacking. So let's look at what a wife is to God. Because this wife, what is she to God first before we talk about to the husband? Because before a woman can be anything to her husband, she needs to know what she is and who she is to God. Proverbs chapter 19, leave this for a moment. Go to Proverbs chapter 19. When you're in Psalms, in the middle of your Bible, go right, find Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 14. What is a wife to God? Proverbs 19 and verse 14. Houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers. You may get something from your parents. That's great. But a prudent wife, a good wife, a godly wife is from who? So she's a gift from God. She's a gift from God. Go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 9 says this. It says, "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." You see, in probably there are some people in this room who maybe you found your wife in a pub. Maybe you found her at a disco. I understand all that. But listen, when you got married, especially now, if you're saved, you're going to have to look at this and says, man, even though it was all messed up, even though I would never recommend it for my kids, God was there and brought us together. That woman is a gift from God. She's an absolute miracle. Think about it, that someone would love you. Body odor included, snoring, scruffy beard. I mean, why would any woman say, "I love this man"? I don't know. It's an absolute miracle. It's an absolute miracle that a woman would accept God's direction in her life to be intertwined with somebody so opposite than her. I mean, she carefully cleans up and he throws his socks on the floor. You know, he comes into the house, doesn't take his shoes off, and she's just finished mopping. They are so opposite. Why would she accept God's will and direction for her life? Why would a woman be willing to lose her own life and identity into the life of someone else? Men need to realize this very fast. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, keep going to the right, from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Some of you wonder why your wife is so happy when you're gone. You know, there's lots of layers to that statement there. But one of them is she's quite content and quite capable on her own. What do we find out in the Bible? Man is not good on his own. Amen. So guess what the Bible says? A wife was made specially for a man. 1 Corinthians 11, 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. We're going to read that when we go deal with it next week. Came from him, came from his rib. Neither was the man created for the woman. Now, I know a lot of women who, the only reason why they get married, so they have somebody who can do all the things for them. But it says the woman was made for the man. So you can disagree all you want, but you can't disagree with the Bible. Man needed a wife. And maybe some of you ladies could just be happy as Larry and just happy as Larry, happy as Larissa maybe, and go on your way and never be bothered having a man around. I understand, but us guys need you. That's what God says. So what is a guy? What is a wife to God? You're a gift. God gave you as a gift, man. You're also loved. You know, thankfully, the woman was not a last-minute creation. She wasn't haphazardly put together as an afterthought, all right? You know, when men get busy and we don't have time to do something, we just throw some peanut butter on a piece of bread and we call it dinner. But when God made the woman, did I do that? When God made the woman, he made something carefully designed, carefully made, different than Adam was. She was lovingly created with the same intensity that God had shown towards Adam's formation. Look at Romans. You're in Corinthians. Go back to the left. Look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the Christians in Rome, and he says, to all that be in Rome, look at the next three words. Beloved of God. Now, was he only talking to the men? No. You know, one of the most important things, whether you're male or female, young or old, you need to realize God loves you. You're beloved of God. Beloved is one of those terms you use and you reserve mainly for two people who are married. This is my beloved, Song of Solomon says. He's mine. But here, when God thinks about us, we're his beloved. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God. Ephesians chapter 2, go to the right, find Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were what? We were dead in our sins. He hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Wait a minute. Did he love us? Does he love us now? Yes. Did he love us before we ever got saved? Yes. There is just something about realizing, no matter how messed up your child life was, your home life was growing up, no matter how hurt, no matter what you've been through, do not blame God. He loved you. And he still came to this earth and he gave his life, and the wrath of God was poured out on him instead of on you and on the people who hurt you. He took it all because he loved us. That's the gospel. 1 John 4:19, you don't have to go there, but 1 John 4:19 says we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. That's not written to men only. It's written to all of us. Folks, a wife needs to know she's loved by God before she ever tries to appreciate the love of a man. Would you understand that? Young teenage girls grow up looking for love, don't they? They're looking for somebody. Maybe their dad didn't show affection to them, so they're trying to find it out at the disco, trying to find it with the boyfriends. I understand all that, but I'm going to tell you this. They will never find it until they've humbled themselves before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, you loved me first. Teach me how to love you and how to receive and give love to people. And when you know the love of God, I mean, to understand the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of the love of God, to know that and to experience it in yourself will help you love that stinking man you're married to. Wife to God is, he loves you. Third thing that a wife is to God is that he also made you to need God. You get fed up with your man, you get fed up with your kids, you get fed up with life. I understand that. That's why you need God. Let's go to Genesis. Well, go first. to Romans. You're just stay in the New Testament. Go to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Romans 3:23, for all men and women have sinned, and we all come short of the glory of God. You know what that means? We need God. There's not one person on this planet that does not need the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the greatest thing you can hear from my lips is trust God, love God, follow Jesus Christ, talk to him, casting all your care upon him, stay close to him. I mean, we can talk about politics, we can talk about science, we can talk about technology and archaeology and history. It will get you no further than where you're at. You know it'll get you through today? Jesus Christ. And a time with him. Every woman needs to have a time with God. Don't just expect your husband to be right with God. You get right with God. You cry out to God. You spend time on your face begging God to help you. You need your creator. You have an eternal soul that is just as priceless as Adam's. To God, every woman. Oh, I better say that right. For you to love your husband right, you need to know the love of God and be able to just express that love for God. And I'm telling you, the Bible says to a man, says, love your wife sacrificially, give your life, love your wife like you love yourself, all that stuff. You say, well, what if I love my wife? You know what God does? You run out of love. So what does God say? Before you even try to love your wife, gentlemen, love God. With how much of your heart? How much of your soul? How much of your body and your strength? How much of your mind? You say, Lord, I just gave it all to you. And then when I turn to my wife, I am filled to the brim. The moment I gave it all away, the Lord fills me with the ability to love that woman. You know what works for the goose works for the gander. When that woman has a tough time loving that husband, I'll give you one reason why you're having a tough time loving that husband. Because you don't love God first. You love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then you look at that man and go, I don't know how it happened, but I'm in love again. Amen. You need your creator. And you need to see yourself as equal before God in Christ. Ladies, you have a different role in life than your husband. And yes, you have to submit to his lead. But you are made in the very same image of God that Adam was. Go to Genesis chapter 1. We'll go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. Don't think for one second that pastor is more spiritual than you. The image of God is clearer in him and all this stuff. Don't you understand? Don't you mess that up. Look at this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. So far, so good. Male and female created he them. So when God made Adam in the image of God, he also made Eve in the very same image. She has an eternal soul. And that soul, male or female, young or old, you were worth Jesus dying for. You may say, I was never worth anything to my parents. I was never worth anything to my husband. I was never worth anything to my friends. I've just been walked over all my life. I'm going to tell you this. You're following the movies. You're following trauma of the life. You need to look into the pages of Scripture and says, I am loved and I'm equal with everybody at the foot of the cross. We're all zeros. There's not superior zeros and inferior zeros. We're all equal at the foot of the cross. Jesus says you are worth his son dying for. Now we can get to the point where what is a wife to a man? Let's go back there to verse 18, chapter 2 and verse 18. Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone, but I will make him a help meet for him. So the first thing I want you to understand what a wife is to a man is she's a help first and always. A man does not need someone who can replace him. Good night. A man does not need someone who is better than him. Man does not need a competitor. He needs a helper. And yes, ladies, Men need to be helpers, especially in the home, but we can deal with that another day. When we talk about a help, we're talking about somebody who can fill in the gaps in his character and in his habits. When you marry a man, ladies, I pray that he's everything you need him to be. But he won't be. He will have flaws. And your job before you get married is to get to know his flaws. Here's two people and they've known each other for 3 weeks. You know what they say? We're so in love. We're just going to get married. I wish I could slap them. They are stupid. They do not know each other's flaws. They think they're always going to be this way and it's going to be destructive. Your job is to know those flaws before you get married, and most ladies don't. And then when you get married, you need to agree to make up for those flaws after you get married. Don't mock them. Don't abuse them constantly or criticize your husband because he is what he is. I'm telling you, he's going to be quiet here for a few minutes. A wife is someone who fills in the gaps, doesn't make them worse. Secondly, wife is someone who protects and strengthens her husband's weaknesses. She's close to him. She knows his weaknesses. She gets to know what he's made of. Do you know Abraham was a liar? Sarah had to deal with that. Sarah had to trust God when Abraham put her life in danger. She didn't leave him. Jacob was a hustler, a deceiver. His wives, he had wives. They had to work with that flaw constantly until he got converted. Amen. He did get converted. David, Solomon, Noah, Adam all had their serious flaws, but their wives did not abandon them, even though they could have. David was made a better man by Abigail. Adam was made a better man by his wife Eve. Ladies, make your man a better man instead of destroying him every time he fails. So be a help. Let me tell you how. I know you believe you have to correct your husband, fix your husband, humble your husband, convert your husband, but God never says any of that. He says, help your husband. Be a help with the work of life. You know what Eve was doing while Adam was tilling the ground? She was watching something on TV, right? No, she's right alongside him. She worked in the same garden with Adam. By the way, she worked with a husband, not with another man. That's an interesting thing that happens today. What kind of a help does a man need? He needs help producing children. He can't do it on his own. He needs help raising children. You know what your children need? Both mom and dad. You know, I'm sick and tired of the rate of divorce and separation is so high. I'm telling you, whatever problems you had that made it impossible for you to be with somebody else, I don't know. I'm just going to say, don't forget the kids that were in that same home who looked up and wished that you could get it fixed because they needed you. That man needed his wife. Your dad needed your mom. Your mom needed your dad. And your children needed to be raised by a mom and a dad. They need the example of both parents loving each other, pleasing one another, serving one another. If you want your kids to survive marriage, you need to try and survive. What kind of help does a man need? He needs help with the burdens of life. He needs somebody to be his comforter, his encourager, his very best friend. A man needs help with seeing things from other viewpoints. I know we men are stubborn. I know we're blind. I know we're idiots. But God put that woman in your life to give you another viewpoint. And that's a good thing. He needs help with seeing things that he didn't see before. He needs help with worship and obeying God. Do you know the two of you can worship God a whole lot better than just one of you? When the two of you, I mean, the Bible says this in Psalm 34. It says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Now, yeah, you ought to worship God on your own. You need to have your own private time walking with God. But man, isn't it wonderful to be around other believers and it just rub off each other and encourage one another? That ought to start in the home. If you wait until you come to church before you get excited about worship, you're missing the point. A man needs a woman to help him get excited about worshiping God. kind of help can a woman provide? She can be a help in the ministry. You know, there are plenty of people in the Bible. You ever hear of Aquila and Priscilla? They're a great team. There's just something about this day and age that says we're so individualistic. You do your thing, I'll do mine thing. That's not how we were designed. Especially men need help. Don't always rely on your husband's help, ladies. Yield yourself to being a help to him. You know, you do that with your children. You see your kids that need help with homework. Who's there doing most of the help of the homework? You are. You see with your parents. You see your parents have a need. Maybe they need a meal cooked or whatever, and you're right there doing it. Don't look at your husband and go, not you. I'm not helping you. You're made to be his help in so many ways. Some women have been so angry and hurt so long that they forgot how to be a help to their husbands, and they become an adversary. And the Bible describes them as contentious. These are Bible words. Brawlers, odious, angry, stubborn. None of those things are what you were designed to be, ladies. Secondly, and I want to finish with this, be a blessing. You know, a wife is a blessing to a man's life. Proverbs chapter 31, you can leave Genesis for a little while. Just some few scriptures before we finish. Proverbs chapter 31 in verse 10. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous, a godly woman? For a price is far above rubies. You couldn't buy her. Verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so they have no need of spoil. Spoil means rewards from war or from even business. Verse 12, she will do him what? Good and not evil all the days of her life. Would you say that's a blessing of a woman? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And verse 34, 1 Corinthians 7, 34. There's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. She wants, that's great. But she that is married, you know what she cares about? She cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. What is a wife to a man? Be a blessing. Don't ignore this instruction, this pattern. That's the pattern to follow. Secondly, look in Proverbs chapter 12. Go back to Proverbs. Well, I'll show you this. Go to 1 Corinthians 11. You're here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7. Then we'll go back to Proverbs. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of? I know you don't want to say it. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was a man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Now, what's all that saying? She's a blessing. She honors him. Look at, I'll show you how. Look at Proverbs chapter 12 now. Back to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4. Proverbs 12 and verse 4 says a virtuous woman is a what to her husband? Is a crown to her husband. But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. I mean, it's killing him. A crown. You think about that. I mean, she makes him look good. You put a crown on a guy, it makes him look good. She's a blessing to him. Proverbs chapter 5. Go back a few pages. Proverbs chapter 5. She's a help. She's a blessing. She's a crown. And she's someone to enjoy. Proverbs 5:18. 5:18 says this. Let thy fountain, speaking to a man, be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Ecclesiastes, go to the right. One book after Proverbs is Ecclesiastes 9:9. Ecclesiastes 9:9. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of the life of thy vanity. That's our life. Which he, God, hath given thee under the sun all the days of thy vanity. Just enjoy her. For that is thy portion. That's God's gift in this life and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. So instead of complaining, instead of fault finding, be a blessing. And by the way, if there is fault in your husband and it needs to be exposed, before you ever expose it to him, expose it to God. Be a blessing through praying for him. If you only see all the faults and the wrongs, and they are there, don't talk about all of those wrongs until you've prayed passionately for them to God and ask God to fix them. Ask God to work on them. Pray for your husband. Pray for him like you pray for your children. Pray like a warrior fighting for your marriage and not ever against it. You know what? Your man, as strong as he may be, you know what the devil wants to do? Devour him. Amen. You know he's after your kids. You know he's after your emotions. But don't forget about that man that you're married to. He's also under attack, and he needs you. And if anybody ought to be praying for him, it's you. Pray for her. Pray for her like a warrior fighting for your marriage, not against it. Be a blessing to him. Now, we're going to deal with Eve next week because she's amazing. But that one verse opened up some thoughts here. And by the end, let me just say, don't be offended. That's God's list. And it's just a summary list, man. God's list of expectations for men is much longer, so don't worry. Do you know, men and women, husband and wives, are different by design. We have different roles. We're designed differently on purpose for good reasons. So instead of striving to be like Hollywood, ladies, will you strive to be like the original design? That's God's design for you if you're married. Because the two of you can make a great marriage. There's just something about two people humbly dependent upon God that just is a miracle. Is there a way to become a helping wife? Yes. Maybe you've been following the wrong pattern, but you can be changed. It's called being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know how to be changed? You know how to be transformed, ladies? By an awareness of how you've believed the wrong pattern. It's the same thing with men. We need to realize we've been following the wrong advice. We need to follow God's advice. Ladies, look at your life and say, maybe I'm not a blessing. It's an awareness. Then repent towards God yourself. Ladies, take responsibility for following the wrong examples. Maybe your parents fought all the time. Maybe your mother was an angry woman. Maybe your dad was a drunkard. It doesn't matter. You're a grown woman now. You have your own husband. God says, be a help. Be transformed yourself. Doesn't happen instantly, but it does happen. Humble yourself and start to resolve to start doing the right things in your relationship with your husband according to the right examples in the Bible, all because you love the Lord Jesus. Don't do it for him. You know why Peter, up on the top of a roof, it was lunchtime, why Peter got down off the roof and went with some Gentiles about 30 miles away to go and meet a Roman centurion named Cornelius. You know why he did that? Not because he loved Cornelius. Not because he loved going and meeting Gentiles. You know why he did it? Because he loved Jesus. If you love me, Jesus said. So do it for your relationship with the Lord. But I have to say this. You can be changed with Jesus as your Lord. But he's not your Lord until he is your Savior first. Ladies, I'm talking to you. Man. The Bible talks to you. It says you must be born again. You can say, well, we grew up Catholic. Doesn't matter how you grew up. It's how you die. And you don't have to die a sinner. You don't have to die a Catholic. You don't have to die a Baptist. You must have eternal life given to you now, so that when you die, you just fall asleep and you wake up in the arms of Jesus. Let me tell you, ladies, if you find life tough, you need God. Maybe you need to cry out to him today and say, Lord, I've been following the wrong patterns. I followed the priest, and I followed the nuns, and I followed the church, and I followed everything what I thought was good, and it's led me nowhere. And I'm having trouble just getting through. Start over with me. It's called being born again. Would you stand and bow in prayer? With every head bowed and every eye closed, why don't you take this moment of silence and just talk to God and say what you need to say. Maybe you disagree. You go ahead and tell God you disagree. That's fine with me. You're not arguing with me. But if you do agree with him and say, I need to be more of a helper, and I can't do it, I run out of energy, I run out of strength, I run out of ability. So good, now you know how much you need God, how much you need right now just to fall on your face before God and cry out and say, Lord, I need you. And I used to be so passionate. I used to so much love my family and my husband, and everything was so different than it is now. And I think it's because things have changed between me and you. Help me to have a right spirit again. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Do a work in me this morning. I'm not the savior, and neither are you, of our families and our marriages, but we're part of the problem. And maybe we would decide to do the right thing and become part of the solution, because Jesus is the answer. And his pattern he gives us is so revolutionary, and it's so opposite of what we feel like doing. Maybe decide we're going to trust it, and then we'll just watch something marvelous happen in our home. So Lord, convert some ladies this morning into helpers. Convert some sinners into saints. May the word of God prick us deep, cut us, and heal us. Because that's where life is. We're not beating down. We're exposing. And we're getting forgiven. And then we're experiencing victory. Especially in our homes today. So bless what we've learned in Jesus' name. Amen. Grab your hymnal.